Just bear with us this morning. I know it's a little warm in here. We got a key coming to unlock the thermostats. That way we can turn on the AC. So just bear with us for a little while on that. So this week, we're going to take a look at Philippians 3, verses 12 through 21. But before we do that, I want to take, just as I usually do during each week, just review last week. Philippians 3, 1 through 11 teaches that true righteousness is not found in our efforts, but in knowing Christ and trusting fully in what he has done. Switching. Paul warns against placing confidence in religion, morality, and personal achievement, using his own impressive religious background as proof that human works cannot save. Everything he once valued, he now counts as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. Salvation comes through faith in Christ alone, whose perfect righteousness becomes ours by grace. Paul's greatest desire is no longer personal success, but a deeper fellowship with Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the hope of eternal life. The passage reminds us that everything built on self will fail, but the life built on Christ will stand forever. Today in our passage, we're going to see that when Christians pursue maturity with humility, passion, gospel wonder, and a heavenly perspective as you press on to know Christ more deeply. In 1968, during the Olympic marathon in Mexico City, the stadium had already erupted in celebration. The winners had crossed the finish line. The medals had nearly been awarded, but most of the crowd had started to leave. But then something unexpected happened. A lone runner entered the stadium. His name was John Stephen Akawari from Tanzania. Earlier in the race, he had fallen hard and severely injured his legs. His knee was bloodied and wrapped in bandages. Every step was painful. He was limping badly as he slowly made his way around the track. The crowd noticed him and began cheering. They were asking, why keep running when there is no chance to win? Why keep going when everyone else has already finished? After the race, a reporter asked him why he didn't quit. Akawari famously replied, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish it. That image captures the heart of Philippians 3, 12 through 21. Paul is not talking about a casual stroll through Christian life. He is describing a runner who refuses to quit, a believer who keeps pressing forward, a Christian who understands the goal is not comfort, the goal is not applause, the goal is not success, the goal is Christ himself. Paul says, I pursue, I press on, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward. The Christian life is not about standing still. It is not about looking backward. It is about running faithfully until we see Jesus face to face. And in this passage, Paul gives us five challenges for growing in Christian maturity as we keep running until we see him. The first challenge we see is that we need to humbly acknowledge that we haven't arrived. Before we dive in, let me pray for our time. God, we come before you this morning with a desire to know you better. God, let the word just indwell in us. Let the word be a part of our life. Let Christ be our sole focus as we go from here today on this week, that we continue to look to grow to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul immediately corrects any false idea of spiritual perfection. He says, no, not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect. Man, how can I relate to that? Can anybody else relate to that this morning? If anyone could have claimed spiritual achievement, humanly speaking, it was Paul. We remember all those things that we talked about on his resume. He was a Pharisee. He was born in the right family. He had everything going for him. He had all this schooling. He had everything else that he could boast in. But you see, spiritual maturity does not produce pride. It produces humility. The false teachers in Philippi promoted a perfectionistic spirituality. Paul says, I have not arrived. Mature Christians are not people who think they have mastered holiness. Mature Christians are people who know how much they still need Jesus. How much do you need Jesus this morning? I know this is a comfort for me personally, knowing that perfection doesn't arrive until we become face to face with Jesus Christ Himself. The gospel shattered Paul's self-righteousness, and it should shatter our self-righteousness as well. Before conversion, Paul viewed himself as blameless under the law. But after seeing Christ, he realized that all his righteousness was filthy rags compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. All those things he was doing, all those works he was doing was nothing compared to Christ. This is hope that it can give us, church. Hope that no matter if we fail, Christ is there. We just need to continue to strive to run that race. Just like the marathon runner who fell and hurt himself, we need to get back up, pick ourselves back up, and start running again. Paul is encouraging the Philippians here. He's not writing as a distant spiritual celebrity. He writes as a fellow pilgrim, a fellow struggler, and a fellow runner. Paul does not make himself any different than any of the Philippians. He knows too that he has not arrived, just like they have not arrived as well. When we truly understand that we have not arrived, we become less critical of others. We become quicker to show grace. We become slower to boast. We become more thankful for mercy. The humble believer is teachable. The humble believer knows that there is still room to grow. This is what Paul is teaching us here in this passage. With all the things that Paul has done and is doing, he still knows there's growth to be had. The mature Christian never outgrows dependence upon Christ. A couple challenging questions for you this morning. Have you become spiritually complacent or self-satisfied? Are you teachable? Do you feel your need for grace daily? The next challenge that Paul comes to here is to passionately pursue a greater knowledge of Christ in verses 12 through 14. See, here Paul moves from humility to holy pursuit. He says things like, I make every effort, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward, I pursue. You see, this is not casual Christianity. This is not spiritual drifting. This is passionate pursuit. Do you have this passionate pursuit for Christ today? No matter what Paul is doing, he is constantly running hard after Christ. The goal is not merely ministry success. The goal is not religious reputation. Paul had all this. But the goal is Christ himself. Paul wants to know Christ more deeply, love Christ more fully, and become like Christ more completely. Is that your goal this morning? Are you running a race to that goal? You see, Paul uses athletic language to describe the Christian life because spiritual growth requires effort empowered by grace. In a sense, you have to train too. As you're running that race, you have to be well trained and continue to learn. Continue to strive to know the word better. Continue to strive to be better. Knowing that only Christ can do all these things in you, and it's not of you, but it is of Christ. The Christian life is not passive. Church, we are called to run, to strive, to discipline ourselves, and to endure. No matter what roadblock comes in our life, we are to run. Run to that goal of Christ. Not of the things of this world. Not of success. Not of self. But of Christ. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand, the right hand of the throne of God. When you feel weak, when you feel like you can't run anymore, think of what Christ has done and endured for you. Keep that in your focus and continue to run. Let us not get confused here, because grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. We don't earn our way, but we need to put in the effort. We do not strive for acceptance. We strive because we have been accepted. Just a little side note for those that may struggle with acceptance. I wanted acceptance most of my life. I wanted to feel accepted. And I felt like I never was. And then Christ took hold of my heart. And I realized that I was already accepted, already loved more than I could even imagine. I knew I wasn't alone. Nobody sitting here today is alone. Christ is with you and will empower you to run that race that he has called you to race. Do not shy away from it. Do not be afraid of it. He will also surround you with people to encourage you, to cheer you on, to comfort you in those times that you need comfort. We need to have spiritual discipline. We need to grow. Grow by having time in Scripture, prayer, worship, repentance, obedience, fellowship, and a gospel mission. The Christian who grows is the Christian who pursues Christ intentionally. Are you intentionally pursuing Christ in everything you do? Is He the purpose for why you do what you do? Or are you looking to get something for yourself? Paul goes on to say, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. A runner constantly looking backward will stumble. I don't believe that Paul is saying here that we do not look in the behind us at all. He's telling us not to be focused there, to be looking ahead, to be able to strive to what we're called to do in that race. Again, when you're looking back, you can't go very fast, and you're looking back at something that already happened as well. That doesn't mean we don't work through those issues, those struggles, those hurts, those whatever it may be in your life. We work through those, knowing that there's an ultimate goal at the end, and that's seeing Christ face to face in eternity. We're not defined by those things in our past. Christ has taken the punishment for them all. We learn from them. We will fall sometimes during the race. We will stumble. We will slow down. And in those times, I want to encourage you to pray, to lean on others, but continue running. No matter what pace it is, because sometimes that race is full speed ahead and sometimes it's barely a walk. But the idea is not to get stuck in what used to be and focus on what is to be. We all need to strive and run towards Christ, knowing Him more. And I love what Paul says here is, one thing I do. What is your one thing? Is your one thing running towards Christ? Striving to be more like Christ? Is it putting away sinful distractions? Is it restoring a prayer life? Is it opening your Bible consistently? Pursuing accountability? Serving faithfully? Sharing the gospel boldly? All these are part of running the race. Striving to be like Christ. This one focused pursuit changes everything. What is distracting you from passionately pursuing Christ? What needs to be laid aside? What one thing would help you pursue Jesus more intentionally? We move on to our next challenge in verses, the second half of verse 12 and the second half of verse 14. Never lose the wonder of the gospel. Paul says, I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. What a beautiful picture of salvation that is. You see, Paul pursues Christ because Christ first pursued Paul. The gospel never becomes elementary truth. We move beyond. The gospel is the very foundation of all Christian growth. A key for Paul here is that he never lost the wonder that Jesus seized him by grace. On the Damascus Road, Christ interrupted Paul's rebellion, rescued him from darkness, and transformed him forever. And that is every Christian's testimony. We are not saved because we reached for Christ first. We were saved because Christ reached for us. It is not our own doing. And what we need to realize is that the mature Christian never graduates from the amazement of grace. We grow deeper into the gospel, not beyond the gospel. Every act of obedience flows from remembering that Christ rescued us, Christ redeemed us, Christ holds us, and Christ sustains us. When the wonders of grace fade, spiritual passion fades. Are you wandering in the gospel today? Do you marvel at the cross? When you marvel at the cross, worship deepens, gratitude increases, obedience flourishes, and joy grows. Are you struggling with joy? Go to the cross. Go to the gospel. Go to Christ. Never lose the wonder that Jesus took a hold of you. Hear that this morning. Jesus took a hold of you and is holding you. Has the gospel become overly familiar to you? Do you still marvel at grace? Are you living out gratitude for Christ's rescue? Some tough questions this morning, isn't it? Somebody grab that. God's calling. Yeah, it might be a... Yeah. God's always calling. Our next challenge, besides the phone ringing, is to follow cross-centered, heavenly-minded examples. Paul reminds believers that examples matter. Who you follow shapes who you become. You see, Christianity is not only taught, it is caught as well. Paul says, join in imitating me. I can't talk. Imitating me. That's my help. God sure knows how to make us laugh at times. Throughout Philippians, Paul points to examples. Examples like Jesus, Timothy, Epaphroditus, and faithful believers. God often grows us through observing faithful lives. Who are you observing today? Are you observing someone who is showing Christ-likeness? Or are you following someone that shows worldly desires? Verse 17 tells us that we need to follow faithful examples. Examples that show humility, prayerfulness, generosity, holiness, evangelism, endurance, and joy and suffering. I think the last one teaches us a lot, doesn't it? Joy and suffering. How many people do you know that are joyful in their suffering? I know I'm usually not. We desperately need faithful examples in a confused culture, in this broken world. We need more faithful examples. Are you going to be one of those examples for this broken, dark world? Or are you going to conform to the world? Many young believers, our children here, our youth sitting here today, need to see godly marriages, faithful parents, humble servants, joyful worshipers, and courageous witnesses. People are watching us. Do we forget everything when we walk out that door every Sunday and things change? Or you walk through that door on a Sunday morning to come join us to worship and it's like a switch. You're totally different. Church, I want us to be able to walk through those doors in any state that we're in. If you're having a tough time, please don't walk through that door with a mask on. If you're joyous, come with a smile. We need to be a church that gathers around each other and can be the examples to follow as well. God has placed us here for a purpose. He has gathered this body for us to walk with each other in this life. God knows it's not easy. And He gives us so many different examples to follow. We need to watch for people who are following Jesus seriously. Do you have that person in your life? If you do, learn from them. Walk with them. Imitate their faith. The key here is that every believer should aspire to become a faithful example for others. Are you that example for others? You see, you may never stand behind a pulpit, but your life is preaching something. What are you showing the world about Christianity, about Christ? Then we come to avoid earthly-minded pretenders in verses 18 and 19. Paul shifts now and he weeps over false examples. He weeps. These are people who profess Christ outwardly but live contrary to the cross. Those Sunday Christians that make everything look good from the outside. But maybe falling apart or dark on the inside. Let us not be those pretenders ever. Those pretenders live for appetite, pleasure, comfort, and self. The cross calls us to deny ourselves. But these pretenders worship themselves. And Paul warns the church, do not follow worldly patterns or follow these pretenders. The culture celebrates things God calls shameful: sexual immorality, greed, pride, laziness, selfishness, materialism. So many of those the world just elevates. You see, earthly-minded people live only for the temporary. This world is only temporary. Things of this world are only temporary. Are you going to live for the temporary, or are you going to live for the eternal? We each belong to another kingdom. Does your heart break for these pretenders? Does your heart break for those that do not know Christ? Does it bring you to tears like it does Paul here? Truth without love becomes harshness. Love without truth becomes compromise. What's the key in that statement? Love. Do we have love for one another? Do we have love for others in general? Are we willing to step out in truth? And just speaking of that truth, I was at an evangelism training for a little bit yesterday morning. And the trainer, Don Sunshine, had us watch a video. It was a video of the Titanic sinking. And the boats that they filled were only like half full. And some of the people in those boats that were saved, the women and children, realized that their seats that are empty, and they wanted to go back for their dads, their husbands. But those in charge said no. And they could hear those out there in the water freezing, dying, screaming. And it just made me think, how many people out there are out there dying, screaming, and we sit in our boat all comfy and safe. That should break our hearts. It should motivate us not to be concerned about ourselves, but to be concerned about those that don't have eternal life with Christ because they do not have the opportunity to know Him. Our last challenge here: live in the light of your true citizenship. Again, I've been talking about this. This world we live in is not the world that we are citizens of. We have heavenly citizenship with Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. How often do we forget that? And the Philippians continue to forget this as well. And Paul has to remind the believers there that they belong to a greater kingdom. Christians are citizens of heaven living temporarily on earth. This world is not our home. And the challenge is the church should be a visible colony of heaven where we love one another, serve sacrificially, care for the vulnerable, reject partiality, display holiness, proclaim truth, and radiate grace. Are you showing those things to others because of your citizenship? Because Christ has taken a hold of you. The world should look at us believers and say, you are different. You are not living for this world. If we were asked the people that you come in contact during the week, would they ask this question? Would they say you're different? Would they say you're not living for this world? You see, Paul here knew where his citizenship was. He knew Caesar was not his Lord. He knew Rome was not ultimate. He knew Christ alone reigns. He knew that one day Christ will return. Suffering will end. Death will die. Our bodies will be transformed. And we will be perfectly conformed to his image. What a glorious hope we have. The Christian life is the race run with eternity in view. What's your view as you run? Family, we endure suffering because we know what is coming. We fight sin because we know who is coming. We press on because we know where we belong. Does your life reflect heavenly citizenship? Are you eagerly waiting Christ's return? Are you living mainly for earth or for eternity? Some serious questions we probably should ask ourselves constantly. Because it is easy to fall into the worldly things. As we close, remember that wounded marathon runner entering the Olympic Stadium after the crowds thought the race was over? His every painful step mattered because he was determined to finish. He was suffering, but was determined to finish. That is the picture Paul leaves us with this in this passage today. Some of you today may feel spiritually exhausted. Some are battling discouragement. Some are carrying wounds, regrets, fears, or suffering. Some may even feel like slowing down or quitting altogether. Paul's message this morning for us is to keep running. Run humbly, knowing you still need grace. Run passionately, pursuing Christ above everything else. Run with wonder at the gospel that rescued you. Run with faithful believers beside you. Run with your eyes fixed on heaven. Because this race is not ultimately about how strong you are. It's about the Savior who took hold of you and will never let you go. He will never let you go. Nothing can snatch you out of his hand. And one day, the race will end. One day, weary saints will enter the presence of Christ. One day, faith will become sight. One day, every sacrifice and every act of perseverance will be worth it. You see, the world may not notice every step of obedience. Others may not understand your endurance. But heaven sees. And Christ is waiting at the finish line. So do not quit. Do not turn back. Do not settle for spiritual complacency. Keep running until you see Him. Keep running till you see Him. I'll leave you with this statement today. Something that you can take with you and remember as we go to this broken world, when we suffer at times, that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who took hold of us, will hold you fast until the finish line. He will not let you go until you finish your race. So continue racing. Continue running. Don't give up. Let me pray. God, I thank you this morning for Paul's encouragement for us to continue to race, for us to know that you are holding us and strengthening us, and we do not have to rely on ourselves, our own strength, our own endurance, to continue the race. God, I just ask that each one of us loves one another and encourages each other to run that race that you have called each one of us to race. Let us be the examples to the world that the world can say you are different and that they want what we have. And God, let us go from here that we can share who you are with this broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a reminder to join us downstairs for the fellowship meal. That way we can get to know each other better and just fellowship together as well. Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. May you leave today pressing on towards Christ with renewed strength, peace, and hope. When you grow weary, may His resurrection power sustain you. When you are distracted by the world, may your eyes remain fixed on eternity and the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Go this week rooted in faith, united in Christ, living His mission. Amen."